Those that are staying with me, turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 45. I got a lot of notes, but it's not all 45, it's all the way through 49. See how far I get today, if I get through it or not. Anyway, let's stand with responsive reading. I'll read the first verse, you the second. And let's go through verse 17, verse 1 through verse 17 of chapter 45 of Genesis. Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him. And he cried, "Cause every man to go out from me." And there stood no man with him, while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren.
And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard.
And Joseph said unto his brethren, "I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live?" And the brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence.
Joseph said unto his brethren, "Come near to me, I pray thee." And they came near, and he said, "I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt.
Now therefore be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves, that ye sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life.
For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are higher years, in the which there shall be.
And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance.
So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God, and he hath made me a father to many nations, that I should preserve life and Lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt.
Haste ye, and go up to my father, and say unto him, Thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me Lord of all Egypt. Come down unto me, tarry not.
And thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen, and thou shalt be near unto thee, thou and thy children, and thy children's children, and thy flocks, and thy herds, and all that thou hast.
And there will I nourish thee, for yet there are 5 years of famine, lest thou and thy household and all that thou hast come to poverty. And ye shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt, and of all that ye have seen. And ye shall haste and bring down my father hither.
And he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck, and wept, and Benjamin wept on his neck.
Moreover, he kissed all his brethren, and went upon them, and wept upon them, and after that his brethren talked with him. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, "Say unto thy brethren, This do ye, lade your beast, and go, and get you into the land of Canaan." Let's pray. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your provision, for your knowledge of future events, of what you have planned for us. And Lord, we just thank you for so great a salvation that you have brought about far beyond our imagination to realize thy greatness and thy wisdom. I pray, Lord, give us a trust in you. This world and our bodies and the lives of our children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren, all of them are scary. And, oh, God, we just want to trust you. Help us to trust you. Help us to believe you're working things out in our lives. And bless all that are here today. Lord, may your word be brought in upon our hearts and our minds in a way that it would bless our lives. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated, please. I can tear up. I can cry on certain emotional things. And when I was reading this, one of the problems I had was I couldn't see the words because of tears in my eyes. What a chapter of the Bible. What a story. Goodness gracious. Wonderful, wonderful thing that we have. Man, Joseph is overcome. Chapter just before, and I know I covered a little bit of this the last time I went, but I didn't cover it well. And the chapter before, Judah has volunteered to be a servant the rest of his life to send Benjamin back. You know, those boys weren't that tender when Joseph was down in the pit. They weren't that tender. They hated his guts. They did not like him because he's a faithful man. He was faithful to his dad, not faithful to his brothers. He wasn't going to lie for them. He wasn't going to cheat for them. He wasn't going to do the life that they had. And so they hated him because he would tell on them. He was a tattletale as far as they were concerned. But he felt a faithfulness to his father. Do you notice all through the life of Joseph and the rest of these chapters here, who was he faithful to? Always to who he was responsible to. I don't put him down in prison. He's faithful. He's running the place. Doesn't take him long. Buy him as a slave. Turn your money over to him. What's he going to do? He's faithful. He's faithful. He's not going to take your wife, no matter how beautiful she is or how much she comes on to him. He's faithful. Joseph, throughout his life, is such a faithful man. Now, the last time he had seen, well, no, it wasn't the last time he'd seen his brothers, but when he was free and he was down in that pit, they sold him as a slave. They probably went off and had a party time. Talk about rich time, and there were towns around and no telling, plenty of wickedness. Every once in a while, I think we're living in such a wicked time, I think it's unusual. But when I reason that out, it's not. All the way back, it's been wicked. You just think about people that became Christians in the days of the apostles. There was so much wickedness all around, and some of them became Christians. And they paid with it with their life. Paid for it with their life. And their families, some of them were divorced because of it, and some of them were sent off as slaves, and all sorts of things. Some of them were killed. Some of them were crucified, and then I understand made torches. Man, they're thinking, if I fought with the beast at Ephesus, Paul's statement, if, it doesn't say he did, but I sort of think he might have. And what did Christians do? Entertainment. Throw a Christian to a bunch of lions. Let him fight, see what he's going to do. You know, it's always been wicked. And don't get too worried about this election. I despise a whole lot of things about this, but I'm thankful I live in America. I'm thankful I've got a vote, at least. Even though whichever one wins, I lose. Whichever one wins, I lose. I don't care. It's a bad scene, but I'll tell you what, my hope is not in America. My hope is not in what some politician can get for me. My dad had an opinion. I was one time criticizing his backing of a certain politician, and he said, son, they're all crooks. Just vote for a smart one. So, maybe that's the way it ought to be. What am I back this time? You think you got it harder than he had it? Not on your life. I got up a little, turned on the TV a little early this morning, and they had some preaching on, some teaching, counseling, stuff like that. And I got to thinking how blessed you are to live in a place where you got real hard preachers and real soft preachers and real sweet preachers and real storytelling preachers. You got all kinds. You say, well, I like this kind or I like that kind. Well, you got it. What excuse are you going to give God for your life? Huh? You're going to stand up before God and say, I didn't have a chance, God. Poor me, God. No. Wow. We are the most blessed generation of people that were ever born on the face of this earth. I look at my family. I look at my upbringing. I look at the Bibles I've got. I've still got Bibles all over the house. You know something? We're blessed. And I didn't have to go and be a slave for 13 years. God didn't make me a slave. He did Joseph. You know what? Joseph was called of God, and God let him know it in dreams. Now, we're going to notice several things back in this time. God speaks by dreams. If you dream today, I think probably you just had too much pizza late at night. But you know what? Back then, Jacob lived by his dreams. Joseph lived by his dreams. And I have no doubt when this 17-year-old boy is telling his dad about his dreams, his dad is putting that in the back of his head. Because that's what he lived by. That's exactly the reason why he made these professions and whatever. God showed him a couple of dreams. The dream that he was going to be a lord. How does his brothers like that? Well, they didn't like it, you know, remember? They didn't like it. He was going to be a lord. Even his father and mother were going to bow down to him. Wow. That's a little hard to take. Have your 17-year-old come up and told you that lately? Well, you'd think, you idiot, get a hold of yourself. Well, I would think that because I don't trust God to give me dreams. He's given me his word. No dream is above this word. No angel is above this word. Somebody comes to you with a dream or with a vision or he's an angel and something and he says something different to this word. Don't pay a bit of attention to him. The word of God is what we have. Now that again is so much blessing. How blessed can you be? You can go and buy this at HEB. You can go to almost any store, I mean even ice houses, and buy a cheap copy of the Word of God. And in fact, people have been giving away free. Just go to a hotel room. The Gideons will have a Bible there for you and a bunch of places where you can check it. You've got the Word of God. You better pay attention. You better pay attention. Here he had a dream, a couple of dreams. He's going to be a lord. He's going to be great. He's going to be bowed down to. He's going to be respected. He's going to be rich. And his brothers throw him in a pit, sell him as a slave into Egypt. And they wouldn't listen to him crying. They didn't listen to his pleading. He cried and he pled. You know what happened? I'll tell you what happened. They saw their daddy broken because of their sin. They grew up. You know why they grew up? The consequences of their sin. They see how he's every day sad. He loses his love of his life, Rachel. And then he loses her first son. Real faithful boy. Boy promises in him. Look great. He's a broken old man. And these boys have had to live with that. You see, he's not as good a daddy as he was. He's not as alert. He's not giving them any more attention now that Joseph is gone than he did before. And they realize we've broken this man because we've taken away a love of his life and we can't do it again. You ever thought about the consequences of what you do? There are consequences. You hit one rock against another rock, there's a consequence. You take a gun, point at somebody, and pull the trigger, there's consequence. You say, well, I didn't know it was empty. You ought to treat every gun like it's loaded. I told my kids all my life, I said, all my guns are loaded. You pick one up, it's loaded. I taught them all how to check if they were loaded. I know some of you don't want a gun, don't want to touch a gun. I wanted mine to be familiar with them. But at any rate, There are consequences. Consequences come in life. Some of you are suffering them right now. I heard a statement about conservatism. Why are teenagers and millennials very modernistic? And why are 30 and 40 and 50 year olds conservative? Well, they've got a chance to reap what they sowed. Isn't that right? All right, am I telling you what is true? I didn't think that up, by the way. I read that somewhere and I said, that's good. That's good. You know what? You begin to see the results of what you do. It changes you. And what it did, it changed the brothers. Now, Joseph had been testing them in the chapters before. You remember, he put his money back in, everybody's money back in. He put his cup this last time into Benjamin's sack. And he comes out and brings them back, and boy, he's down on Benjamin. Well, Judah stands up. Judah's the guy that said, sell Joseph. Let's get some money out of him. Don't kill him. Let's get $2,000 or $3,000. We'll have a party at Joseph's expense. And Joseph crying, no, all the time. Who is it that stands up? Last part of chapter 44, Judah stands up. Now, Judah's not altogether a good guy, but he proves himself to be a leader and becomes a real leader. And Christ comes through Judah. Christ doesn't come through Joseph. Joseph protects Judah. He protects Judah's seed. He's over there protecting them, building them into a great nation. He's testing them out, and he takes Benjamin, you're going to be my servant. Man, he just played the whole thing up because he could. He was Lord of all Egypt. Imagine that. I wouldn't want to be president. I'd be king, but I wouldn't want to be president. Well, now Joseph is king. The Pharaoh, he's having his parties and doing what he wants to, and let Joseph do it. Joseph do a better job than I can anyway. Joseph's running the thing. He's running everything. His advice is listened to. And he's been able to manipulate these things, and he wants to know. Wouldn't you want to know? Wouldn't you want to know, have my brothers changed? Are my brothers the same scoundrels they were when they would not listen to me, when I cried, when I wept, when I asked them? Don't do me this way. And you know what? When he put Benjamin to the test and all these brothers are there, here's old Judah. Judah stands up and said, I can't do this to my dad. I can't do this to my dad. His life is bound up in the lad. You know the reason why that the Bible teaches that an elder ought to be a father of children? Makes a difference. Children make a difference. Marriage makes a difference. Divorce makes a difference. Children make a difference. Putting people together and loving one another and trying to keep them going together, that makes a difference. And a lot of people are not thinking about that, and they mess their lives up, and oh, the results that are happening today. It's terrible. It's pitiful. Too many children being raised without fathers. That's a hard thing to do, but that's on both the men and the women. The men for being such jerks that they run off, and the women for not being smarter. Let me tell you something. There are results. And old Judah showed he'd changed. I can't do this to my daddy. I promised my daddy that I would take care of it. I would be responsible. And I am responsible. And so I cannot let you take him. You've got to please take me as a servant. Have you ever thought about what volunteering to be a slave he was? I'm free. I've been free all my life. My parents raised me in a very free way. They were strict in some ways, but I made my own decisions. They wanted me to be able to make decisions. They wanted me to think things through. I'm so thankful for what I had. Wow. Here's old Judah. Sir, he does not know he's speaking to Joseph. Isn't that something? That is something. He does not know. I imagine all of them were bearded men. And I'm just about betting that Egyptian Joseph was shaved. And maybe his hair done in a different type of deal. They didn't recognize him. He said, I pray thee, let thy servant abide instead of the lad, a bondman to my Lord, and let the lad go up with his brethren. For how shall I go up to my father, and the lad be not with me? Lest peradventure I see the evil that shall come on my father. That's wisdom. Judah's got some wisdom. The other brothers, I believe, have probably thought the same thing. They've probably discussed it time and time and time again. You don't do what they did and not have it on your mind. You're not going to get rid of it. You talk about a guilt, shame, and this breaks Joseph's heart. Breaks my heart to read it and talk about it. And he breaks down. He breaks down. And he said, everybody, get out of here. And everybody, all those Egyptians left. I mean, this is the Lord of Egypt here, the biggest kingdom of the world at the time. Wow. And they all leave. And then he breaks down and starts crying, and that's where 45 says. Then Joseph could not refrain himself before them all that stood by him, and he cried, cause every man to go out from me. There stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard. Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. Does my father yet live? How long has it been since you visited your dad? Is he still alive? Can you visit him? I've done a lot of visiting in my life. I've been a preacher 59 years, over 59 years. I visited a lot of hospitals, a lot of nursing homes. I visited nursing homes where people have relatives living in this town and they never go by for 5 minutes. I used to think it was a shame. I still do. You say, yeah, but it's so inconvenient. Yeah, but you don't feel good. It smells bad. And it just makes me feel bad to go out to a place like that. Who cares? What do you think it is to be there? Bible says, let your request be known unto God. And I talk to God just every once in a while and tell him, kill me quickly. Take me quickly. Just let me lay down on a pillow and I say, wake up and hello, Lord. And I miss the nursing home journey. That's an experience I'd like to miss. Probably won't, but depends on the will of God, you know. He wept aloud, and the Egyptians heard, I am Joseph. You realize it? Did you notice how many times he tells them again, I am Joseph? It's hard to believe. It's hard for those brothers to believe. And he's realizing, I'm not getting through to these guys. I am Joseph. Hey, I know you don't recognize me. Benjamin, you know me. Listen to how I speak. I am Joseph. Is my father alive? You know he loved his father. His father loved him. They had a good relationship. Is my father still alive? Well, you know, I'd like to go see him. Well, he couldn't go, could he? He's Lord of Egypt. He can't take on off. Got to bring him to me. Is my father still alive? Several things in this chapter. doth my Father yet live? And then he goes back to verse 4. Look at verse 4 again. Come near unto me, I pray you. They came near. He said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. How many times you got to tell them, Joseph? I don't know. But these guys are, whoa. They know they're in real trouble. This guy that we sold into Egypt is now the king of those dreams that he told us about when he was a teenager, 17. Look at verse 5. Tremendous, tremendous verse. You'd have a whole lot better life if you could just get the sense of this verse, really. Now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that you sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. God did send me. You ever think that some of the things that happen to you, God's using for something that you know nothing about? Do you think a God's got a plan somewhere in his life that really doesn't interest you? Do you think maybe that God could be putting you through something for somebody else's benefit? We are such wimps and crybabies and whiners. Man, and I think it's getting worse as we go on. I was raised by the Depression generation. They were some tough birds. Some real characters, I want you to know. But they were tough. They made it through it. Will you make it through the next one? Will you make, there's going to be one. Did you understand that? There's always ups and downs. There's always famines. There are always tsunamis. There are always earthquakes. There's troubles going to come. And every single one of you's got troubles coming. Can you trust that God is in charge of your life? And that whatever he does is right? God, help us. We're so centered on ourselves and my little entertainment this week, or my buying this, or my selling that, or whatever. You know what I'm talking about. Now let me tell you, I've been a pastor 59 years. I have listened to some of the stupidest stories between husbands and wives. I'm telling you, stupid. I want you to think about the last fuss you had. What it was over. Something stupid, probably. Oh, every once in a while we have some real heavy things and some real sinful things or some real wicked things. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about most of the time you're disappointed, you got your feelings hurt, or you're going to pay somebody back because they said something wrong that you took wrong. Stupid, stupid little thing. I sit there and I think, how do I help this? I had a couple here a while back, a year ago, Sue. I'm sitting in the room with them, and they're both going, and I couldn't get either one of them to shut up, and I finally told them, I can't help you. You won't listen to any reason, and you're doing this out of stupidity. Isn't that a kind pastor? It's true. Downright stupid, the things we get our feelings hurt over. Get all upset. I'm not going to cook. Well, I'm not going to. Well, I'm going to leave. Well, I'm going to. Oh, come on. Grow up. Get a picture bigger than your feelings. Here he is. I am Joseph. He keeps telling him, I am Joseph. Verse 5. God did send me before you to preserve life. Look at verse 7. Yes, say it again. God sent me before you to preserve life, preserve you a posterity in the earth. What was important? Keeping that family alive. That 70 souls that went down in there, where it's 66 and you had Joseph and his children 4. And then you can add them another way too, but that's all right. 70 odd souls. Linda helps me with the house. She does a lot of things I would never do. And she goes to a lot of trouble, and I thank the Lord for her. She's been a tremendous blessing. Just recently, she came over on a Tuesday when she comes, and she had a bunch of leaves. I inherited a house with one room had these branches going all over the walls. And I said, it's just painted good. Don't even worry about it. Don't cover it. Don't tear it down. Well, now then, it has 58 leaves. That's my family. 58 leaves with the branches out of five. Verlene and I at the bottom. 58 leaves. I wouldn't do that. But Linda would. Understand what I'm saying? Isn't that something? Look at verse 8. He says, I haven't given it to you enough. Look at verse 8. So now it was not you. He's saying it again. Isn't he saying it again? Have you noticed that it just impressed me as I read this chapter again? Again, it was not you. He's trying to take the pain, the embarrassment, the punishment off of them. So it was not you, but God that sent me thither. And then notice what he says. And he, that's God, he hath made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Father, Lord, ruler. There's your dreams. There's your dreams. Hey, God knew what he was doing when he told Joseph those dreams. I wonder if they sort of kept him alive in his heart as he was in prison, unjustly put there. I wonder if he could think, God gave me that dream and I still believe in God and therefore I'm going to trust him. Can you? You know what the purpose of us preaching is? That you would trust God more. If you're not saved, that you'd trust him for your salvation. If you're saved, that you'd trust him for your life and your future. If you're saved, you'd trust his word to live by. That's why I have a real problem with preachers who are always correcting the Bible in your hands. That's your authority, not the preacher that's standing behind a pulpit somewhere, no matter what he's dressed. That Bible you got in your hands, why don't you trust it? How can you trust it if you don't read it? How can you trust it if you don't know it? You ought to spend some time doing it. Amen? That's good preaching, Brother Lindell. You're to believe the word. I do believe it. Oh, it's been a blessing to my life. I'm a father to Pharaoh. What does that sound like? Sound like a good relationship to me. I don't know about your father, but I had a great father. I wouldn't have traded him for any father I've ever known. Mother, same way. Had a great family. He's a father. I wish I could go over and talk with my father right now. I'd love to be able to go over and sit down and sweat because in his old age, he was cold. And I was always hot natured. And I would go into his house and that house is 90 degrees. I would sit on the couch and the sweat would just run off. I would be dripping wet, but I wouldn't tell him to change his temperature. He was dad. I'll sweat. He was a wise man. He taught me a lot of wise things. And I look at some of these kids and talk to some of them and they don't stand a chance. Nobody's teaching them wise things. They're teaching them junk. They won't deliver and won't give them a good life. Goodness gracious. What a blessing a father is. Children need fathers. They need mothers, bless your heart. But after a certain age, you're going to wish you had a man around. They need fathers. They need somebody big enough to beat them up. That is the honest truth. I heard the story. I was told it was true. Came from my brother-in-law. He said he had a man. He had a boy 18 years old. The boy came into the house, and the mother told him something. He said, I'm a man. I'm 18 years old. Don't you tell me anything else what I'm doing. She didn't say anything. She just told her husband when she got home. And she said, he said he didn't have to obey me. I was a woman, and he was 18 years old, even if I was his mother, because he was a man. Father walked into the bedroom where the boy was, said, I understand you're a man. Yes, sir, I'm a man. He just beat the snot out of him physically. No man talks to my wife that way. Sometimes you need somebody to physically restrain stupidity. Amen? Oh, bless your hearts. I keep chasing these rabbits. Thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me Lord of all Egypt. Tarry not. Hey, Daddy, you're already 130 years old. You better hurry up and get here. If you want to see me, I want to see you. I want to see you alive. I don't want to hear about your funeral. I want to talk to you. I want to hug you. I want to cry on your shoulder. I want to kiss you. I want to love you. Tarry not. Tarry not. Bless your heart. Look at verse 11. Here's Joseph again talking. Talking about them taking them to Goshen, this land that's good for farming and ranching. There will I nourish thee. There they had 5 years of famine. Now look at verse 13. Ye shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt. Oh, would you ever like to show somebody they were wrong? It's in all of us, isn't it? Verlene just hated playing any games with me. She just almost wouldn't play games because she said, I had too much fun when I won. You know, I won. I beat you. I can lose and still be your friend. I won't beat you up or throw rocks at you or anything like that if I lose. But if I win, I'm going to rub it in. What's old Joseph saying? Tell my father of my glory. Dad, those dreams were true. Dad, remember when I told you about those dreams? Those dreams were true. Here I am. I'm father, lord, ruler of all Egypt. Tell my dad about my glory. Wow, it's beautiful. Now, Pharaoh found out about all this. And he was very impressed. This Pharaoh loved Joseph, respected him. We find a later Pharaoh around Moses' time that didn't know Joseph. Nothing about him. All he had knew was slaves out there that had turned him into slaves. We're not exactly told how that came about, but it's there. Look, if you will, at Acts 7:35. This Moses, whom they refused, saying, who made thee a ruler and a judge? The same did God send to be a ruler and a deliverer by the hand of the angel which appeared to him in the bush. And he brought them out after that he had showed wonders and signs in the land of Egypt and in the Red Sea and in the wilderness. 40 years, this is that Moses. Who is this Joseph? Well, it's the one God sent. It's the one God prepared. It's the one God stayed with in deception, desertion, slavery, false accusations, prison. They didn't have TVs in those prisons back then. They didn't have gyms for the guys to exercise with in those prisons back then. I don't know how well they were fed. Got all of that. And the people say, His brothers, who made you a judge and a ruler? We're all going to bow down to you. Even his dad said, I'm going to be bowing down to you. They did not like his dreams. Look at John 14, 2 and 3. John 14, verses 2 and 3. In my Father's house are many mansions. You ever heard that? If it were not so, I would have told you. That you ought to underline. You ought to mark it. You might even dog-ear that page. That's one of the best little sentences you ever saw. Jesus says, if it were not so, I would have told you. You know what he's told us? What's so? And if it were not so, I would have told you. So some idiot out there that says, no, you don't need to believe that Bible. You know, I believe this verse. If it were not so, I would have told you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Tell you what, God's coming back. Look at verses 14 and 15. He fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, and Benjamin wept upon his neck. Moreover, he kissed all his brethren, wept upon them. And after that, his brethren talked with him, and the fame thereof was heard in Pharaoh's house. Joseph's brethren are come. It pleased Pharaoh well. Take your father, I'm verse 18, take your father and your households and come unto me. And then he says in verse 19, take you wagons out of the land of Egypt. And verse 20, regard not your stuff, for the good of all the land in Egypt is yours. And the children of Israel did so. Joseph gave them wagons according to the commandment of Pharaoh, gave them provision. Now I want you to look at verse 22. I love this verse. To all of them, every one of his brothers, to all of them, he gave each man changes of raiment. That was a pretty big thing. That's clothes, nice clothes. I bet they were the best in Egypt. But to Benjamin, he's got a full brother here. But to Benjamin, he gave 300 pieces of silver and 5 changes of raiment. Woo! Joseph's rich. He's got the wealth of Egypt in his hands. He can take care of them. I'm not angry at you. I'm not hurt at you. I'm not trying to get back at you. You know, you would sleep better the rest of your life if you would just forgive some people. I don't think anybody has ever treated you as bad as the brothers treated Joseph, or that God let Joseph go through. Now, that's not a college education I would want. 13 years of being a slave and prisoner. But that's how God prepared Joseph. So he lets you get a little sick. So he lets you lose a job. So he does something else to you, whatever. Quit your crying. Look up to God and see what he's trying to do for you. God's preparing you for tomorrow. God is preparing you for the future. God is preparing you to be a blessing. God is preparing you to be a cog, maybe just one cog in his chain of events that are going to be taking place. Why don't you trust God? Why don't you trust God? He gave them all changes of raiment. Benjamin, he gave 300 pieces of silver and 5 changes of raiment. You reckon he's a little prejudiced towards his own brother? I think so, and I don't think they had a problem with it. I don't think they did. And then he says, and this is interesting to me, the last part, the last sentence in verse 24, see that you fall not out by the way. You know, I'm believing you, and I'm accepting that you've changed, but man, don't get in a fight on the way home. Don't mess around so that Dad doesn't get to come down here. I want to see my dad, so you guys be sure you get there. You ever take somebody's confession or or promise or something like that, then think, hey, please remember this. do what you promised to do here. Don't fall out by the way. And then what did he do for his daddy? It says to his father, verse 23, he sent after this manner, 10 asses laden with the good things of Egypt. Hey, Dad, you got a taste for dates? Well, we got them. You got a taste for this? We got it. I got a taste for that? We got it. Dad, you got it all, whatever you want. And then 10 she asses laden with corn, bread, meat for his father by the way. And he sent his brethren away and they departed and he said unto them, see that you fall not out by the way. And they went up and out of Egypt and came into the land of Canaan unto Jacob their father and told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive, and he is the governor over all the land of Egypt. Wow. It's 13 years. 13 years he's given up on Joseph. He's alive. He's the ruler of all of Egypt. That gave you a heart attack. That will blow your mind. Joseph is alive. He's the ruler of all Egypt. Those dreams came true. God's will was being done. And God was protecting this one family for the Christ that was to come and save all your souls and give us a reason for living. Amen? Look at verse 28. Israel said, it is enough. Don't know what he'd been praying for the last 13 years, but he said, it is enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die. And as you'll learn in the next chapter, he lived 17 years in Egypt. God bless you.